to you. I woke up one morning this last week, and as one word came to my mind, amiable. And I knew it was scripture, and I was hoping it was a reason that the Lord gave me that word to start with, because I found it in Psalms 84. So, Lord willing, I'd like to speak to you some from Psalms 84 this morning. It's a Psalm of David, even though it doesn't say so in the heading. It's a Psalm of David to the chief musician with gittith, which I understand is a musical instrument of some kind, for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah sometimes takes us to a very depressing time, but yet his descendants that did live were, in David's time, the singers in the tabernacle and the courts of God, in the service of God. So this is a song, it's a psalm, a song, and it's a song of David, I believe, very strongly about it. And it was a song that David pinned it down to be sung. And he starts off with the word amiable. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And the word amiable is not a hard word. It means lovely, but well beloved, very lovely. So David is thinking about the tabernacles, the presence of God, the courts of God. And he expressed this, and we'll learn that when he's doing this, he's in one of those situations in his life that wasn't so good and pleasant. But he's in his depression state, he's thinking about the house of God. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And a lot of things we could look at. My mind will be taken perhaps in with not trying to address every word or every phrase, but I want to think more about our situation in life compared to David's situation in life. So that would cause him to say how lovely, how amiable, beautiful word, I think, how lovely, extremely lovely are thy tabernacles, O God. David had been in the tabernacle of God many times. He had built his house in Jerusalem, called it Zion. And the tabernacle of God was right there by his house. He brought it there. He thought it was so wonderful that he regretted that he lived in a house of cedar and the house of God was in tents or tabernacles. And I don't want to get tied up into that. It's a great story. But he thought more about the tabernacle of the Lord than he did his own house of cedar that he had built. And he called it Zion, but then the tabernacle, the this whole city was later called Zion, the city of our God. And so it was something that brought great blessings to the people there in Jerusalem and the people of David and his family and the Israelites that were around it. And he's thinking about it in verse 2, he says, my soul longeth. You ever really long, wanting something so bad that you just long for it? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's interesting. His heart and his flesh cried out, longing for it, to be in the presence of God in his tabernacle, in his courts. There were several times in the life of King David, in which he did not have access or was not so blessed to be right in the presence of God, and several of those we can find in Scripture. One of the darkest times, I guess, when he had found out, he was found out, his conduct with Bathsheba and towards Uriah was terrible. He was actually guilty of murder with Uriah, sending him out to the front lines. And David really suffered greatly because of his own discretion. I call it discretion. It's really maybe greater than that word. He suffered the loss of the child. I remember reading about him in his mourning for the child. As long as the child had life, he mourned and fasted, wouldn't eat. Sackcloth and ashes. His servants tried to get him to eat. He wouldn't do it. And when the baby passed away, they were so afraid to bring him that message because they said he won't eat. And all the time he was sick. Now that he's passed away, what's he going to do? And David sensed by their conversations or their whispering around that the baby had died. And so he asked them, and they said, yes, it's passed away. What did David do? He didn't go in a fit. He didn't lose control. David got up and washed himself and dressed himself. And the first thing he did, he hadn't eaten in days, but the first thing he did is go into the courts of God and worship. That was what he needed the most. After that, he came in and he cleaned up and dressed himself and ate. But first of all, the most important thing for him is to go to the poor God is and thank God for the blessings. And you know the story. I'll not go to him. I mean, he'll not come back to me, but I'll go to him. He wanted to worship and did worship God first. That was one of those times whenever he was away from God and couldn't feel the presence of God and longed for the tabernacle, for the courts of God. And as soon as the situation had solved itself, that's where he went. There are other times when he mourned. He mourned for himself and his sins, is what he called them. And he poured out his heart unto God. Why is my soul so disquieted within me? Why am I so in such a terrible shape? But he knew what it was. He knew it was his own sins. And he confessed that to the Lord. Said, I confess my sin before thee. But see, he could not enjoy the blessings of God. And he didn't ask God to just forgive his sin, but he asked for him. He knew that God is a God of mercy and forgiveth sin, but he asked the Lord to restore unto him the joys of his salvation because he had lost them. The joys of his salvation was something that he longed for, but he knew he could only find it in peace in the presence of God in his courts. You can think of other times whenever his son, Absalom, rebelled against him. And rather to stand and fight against his only son, he loved him so that he left home and wandered through the wilderness. And during that time, it was a horrible, horrible time. And he longed for the day when he could go back into the tabernacle of God and the courts of God. His flesh and his heart longed for it. And then when his son Absalom died, was another time he went into great depression. And even though his son had turned against him, even though his son had tried to take his kingdom, even though his son was an evil person, he loved his son and mourned and wept for Absalom, my son, my son. And he wished that he could have died instead of Absalom. And there's times in David's life whenever he was separated from the blessings and the peace and the comfort in the presence of God, and he longed for that. And we could probably dwell on each one of those things, but think about, here's a man that God said he's a man after my own heart. Because his heart was never haughty and proud from the standpoint that he tried to accuse others or accuse God. They'd cast stones at him. They'd call him every name in the book. And his servants said, you need to deal with this. Maybe I deserve it. And I'm paraphrasing that. Times whenever we also can get so down in life. And we wonder where we're going to turn. And it just seems like we might search and seek and try to find all manner of things to cheer ourselves up. And when it's sin sickness, there's only one thing that will help us, and that's the Word of God. That's to be in God's presence. Amen. And David longed for these, and he instructed his singers to sing about these things. And I want to read a little bit more. I've never tried to preach on this psalm before, and I'm not sure where it's going to take me, so I need your prayers. But he said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now there's something special about that word courts. And there's a lot of things we think about the tabernacle, but a court is a place that usually has a boundary. And it has an enclosure. I remember the song of Solomon when he was saying, comparing the Lord's house to a garden. He said a garden enclosed, and that word starts with an I instead of an E. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, his bride, his church, the garden. He said it's a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And yet when you study that song, it's not talking about this fountain no longer produces water, but it's shut up from the outside. Because it's for those that are in his garden, inside, that get to drink from the fountain. Because even in that psalm, it talks about the living water that comes up. Within the house of God, within the church of God, within the where the truth is preached, there is a special fountain of water of life, which is Christ Jesus in his work. Amen. And it's special to us. And the world outside can know nothing about it. They can't see it. They can't taste it. They can't taste the fruit that's the sweetness of his fruit or drink of that water. It doesn't mean they're dead alien sinners. But they not all of God's children understand the truth and rejoice in the courts of the house of God. I tell you, it's a special place. This place wears the name Bethel, which is the house of God. But I feel like the house of God is where his people are, and he meets with them. It's not always a large congregation where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. There's Bethel. There's the house of God. And there's wonderful stories about the name Bethel. But sometimes we're like David, and we just seem like we've lost it all. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know, we've been through a whole lot this last year, the last several months. There was times when we were forbidden to come out to this physical place and worship God together. And we were forbidden the close communication and the communion that we've always enjoyed for so long. And I thank God for the streaming of services that happened all across the country. And it gave people a chance to hear the Word of God, and I listened to some of them myself. And when we couldn't go out, and we were forbidden to, and we couldn't go out, and it's too dangerous for us to be together, they say. Anyway, the streaming services helped. But it doesn't take the place of assembling together in the house of God. We can meet in communion with the Lord in our closet of prayer. We can commune with the Lord in a lot of ways and a lot of times, and even when a pandemic tells us we can't meet together in the house of God, we can reach God. We don't even have to have streaming services to have communion with God. We just bend our knee, prostrate ourselves, and pray to the living God, and He's always there. But you know, I can watch streaming services of people, ministers preaching, of singing, or whatever. I want to be there in my body. My flesh longs to be there too. My spirit longs to be there, but my flesh, there's nothing like coming physically as well as spiritually to the house of God. And that's what you've done. That's what you do. And how much better it is when we can meet together and assemble together and share with one another and have hands of fellowship and holy kisses of hugs and greetings, because we greet together in a unified spirit and a bond of love around the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. David said, I don't want to just have communion with God. I want to be there in His court. My flesh and my spirit longeth and crieth out for the living God. And he says, yea, even the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, that she may lay her young a nest. Sparrow, most plentiful bird in world, I guess. And the swallow builds a nest for her young. Taking care at the place of rest, the place to come, the house of the sparrow, the nest for the wren or whatever that swallow was. They talked about that. And David said, that's my case. The sparrows have it. The swallows have it. But I'm longing for it. And then he says, even thine altars, O Lord. That's what David was, comes right down to the point of the altar of God's righteous grace through Jesus Christ. He said, he was longing for thine altar. Many teachings on that. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Well, let me get back and get verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, in whose heart are the ways of them. The strength is in him. It strengthens me to get to come to the house of God. It strengthens me to be able to not just stream it. And I don't mean to run down that it's happening. But I'm not totally satisfied with it either. But it was better than nothing. But it'll never be equal to coming to the house of God. And God presence being felt there and dwelling together with him. That's strength to us as it was strength to David. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house, they will be still praising thee. And then it says Selah. That's a word in music that means pause, stop. It's better than just a hole where you hold a note out. This means you just stop everything for a moment and dwell and reflect upon and think upon and meditate upon what you just said. David had, in his despair, longed for the courts of God. And he said, right there in the presence of God, in his courts, I find my strength. And there the blessed will still be praising thee. He said, just stop a minute, reflect on that. And that's what I've tried to do to you thus far. Not very, very many verses, but how wonderful it is to come to the house of God. I know I'd planned to come to this same weekend, same meeting last year. But we had to call off services. Postponed most of the stuff for a year. Some are still postponing them. That's their decision. We went through a whole lot there in Dallas, too, and I'm used to standing before a congregation trying to speak on the Word of God almost every Sunday, you know, miss at least several times. And there was a period of about 8 weeks I did not have the opportunity to stand before any congregation and speak. People might have been happy about that, but it was miserable for me.
Yeah.
It really was. It was a hard time. Many times I went through depression. Am I through? Is it over? I'm getting older. My eyes are failing. My hearing is failing. I can still read my Bible. But I couldn't help but wonder, is it time for me just to get aside and quit? But oh, how I longed just to be in the house of God. I'll be happy to hear some preaching. Let me come hear preaching. But there was a longing and a satisfaction, a desire to stand up in his pulpit. And after those 8 weeks, we were able to come, and it's my time to preach, and I was able to preach. And I don't know how much liberty I had, but I sure felt better. In the core, I was there. Things looked like they were back to normal. And just pause and think about how great it is to have what we have today and what we've been through. Now, maybe we have had our own individual times like David, of our own personal sins rise up before us and convict us. And we wonder, is the Lord clean, gone forever? But he hadn't been. I was reminded that he told us that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I didn't want to leave him or forsake him, because I may not bring strength to the people that have to listen to me. Boy, I sure do get it. And I get some relief once in a while from speaking, but hearing the preaching, no matter, hearing other people preach, it's just revived my spirit. My outlook on life is a lot better than it was about 6 months ago. Just pause and reflect about the blessings that we enjoy today, to be able to come together just like this. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful blessing it is. How sweet it is, Jackie Gleason would have said. And it's better than that. Well, let's go on a little further. I'll read verse 6 again. Blessed is the man that whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Your greatest strength, our greatest strength, is in the Lord. This world may fall completely apart, but Jesus will still be there, and our strength will still be there. Now, considering those, David says something about them. And in verse 6, he says, who, the one whose strength is in him, who passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a well. What is the Valley of Baca? Well, Baca is actually a compound word. It represents a mulberry tree or a weeping tree. You go and you cut it and the sap pours out, and some think it's other kind of trees. But the word really literally means weeping. And you think about not only just those times of David when he was weeping for his own sins, weeping for the loss of a son, weeping because his people had turned against him, weeping because his own son had passed away, weeping because the joy of the salvation seemed to be gone. And he was longing for it. He was in the Valley of Baca. There's a word that I missed so much time, who passing through. He didn't just get in that valley and stop, and that's where his life ended. You know, you get the same thing looking at the 23rd Psalm, when he's talking about the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, and what he did to him, for him. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In the valley, sometimes it's where the enemy is. Sometimes it's dangerous. Sometimes it's affliction. Sometimes it's our own self. But we go through the Valley of Baca, and there are dangers. There's evils. There are tribulations. We all go through those valleys of weeping in our life. Many are the times when I weep because of my own shortcomings, more than anything else. But there's one thing I've never had to weep for, is that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. I never have had to weep because I wasn't brought up that way. I never believed it any other way. I've never had to weep that the Lord had done all he could and it's just up to me to finish it, because that would bring me to great weeping, and I know I could never do what was required. But Jesus Christ did, and he finished his work and declared so. And when we're in the courts of God, we're passing through the Valley of Baca. Remember, it's passing through. The first psalm is a whole lot like those things. And we do have a clock back there now. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you notice the progression of that? Now, this is a man that doesn't do this, but this is what a lot of even God's children do. At first, they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They stop or they walk through it and listen, and they hear the counsel. And then all of a sudden, you see them stop. They're standing in the way of sinners. There's something enticing that the world throws at us and Satan throws at us on a daily basis that entices us. Says, why do you want to go serve that Lord? Why do you want to travel 250 miles to go meet with a group of people? Why do you want to come 5 miles or 20 for me? You know, every Sunday. My co-workers couldn't understand. I was working in Plano, living in Wiley. There's churches all around us. Why don't you just find you one closer? I said, well, I go to the closest church I know. They don't understand. They never will understand. Because this is a garden enclosed. It's the sister, the spouse, the bride of Christ. And there's something here that you cannot get out there. And they'll never see what you have until the Lord humbles their heart and brings them in. And he do that as he walks. Tried to do a sermon recently on Fear Not, Little Flock. But your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And that's not a slam against the church. Neither is it an excuse for us. It's a statement of a fact. There's few that cross that straight gate and walk the narrow way and find it. And that's not the road to heaven. That's the road to this life. Who passing through the valley of Baca, no matter how hard it gets for us in this life, we need to weather through it and remember to make it a well. They that passing through the valley of Baca, make it what the valley of affliction, the valley of tears, make it a well. And what that well is translated, the word is translated fountain most of the time, of what the difference between a cistern and a well. And a well that's a fountain is that the water is living water, and it comes up and it increases and flows out and refreshes all around it. And you can take the worst part of your life, and depending on the Lord and knowing he's with you and he's going to deliver you from it, and longing for that, he'll deliver that. You'll make it a well depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the water that bubbles up and refreshes us and strengthens us. We go from strength to strength. Amen. He gives grace for grace. They make it a well. Passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Another time to pause. Oh, the Lord of hosts, he loved us in spite of ourselves. We fall short so far, so many times. I do. We do. We never fulfill what we should be. There's too many times in my life I've been lax. Lax in prayer, lax in study, lax in keeping my own thoughts like they ought to be. So many times I've been to that, in that valley of Baca. But when I know that the Lord has overcome, he's paid my sin debt with his own precious blood and giving his own life, the victory is mine. The victory is ours. He won the victory, and it's ours through him. I guess maybe I've had more dreams, and they don't all turn out good. But I had a dream that I was talking to somebody the other day, and this is a dream. But in my dream, this person was distraught. Nothing was working out, and he wasn't dependent on God. He had heard so many things, and he was so concerned about his eternal salvation. I've actually had conversation with people about stuff like that. But he said, why are you always so happy? Why are you so positive all the time? I've even had people think I wasn't bright because I wasn't brought down because of everything. I said, well, here, and this is what I told the man in my dreams. He said, what is it you have? And I said, there's one little simple fact. This warfare that's going on, we win. We win. Of course, he won it for us, but we're in him, and the victory is ours. Off when this world's all burnt up and it's all destroyed, we win because he takes us home to glory where he prepared a place for us. We win. How pause and think about the goodness and the gracious of God. I know for a fact sometimes we have a bird's eye or a hole in a song. You hold that note out and it makes emphasis to it. But this is times when you just don't even hold a note. You just stop and reflect. Pause. And then we've had two of them there. I'm going to try to go on and get through the end of this. I'm glad that we can go from strength to strength. Because we're strong one time today, we're going to need it again later. And we can go from strength to strength. And what happens in between is kind of immaterial. Yes, Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. And that's a matter of fact. In this world, we shall have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Blessed is a man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't stop and sit in the way in the seat of the scornful. But in his law, he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that produce her fruit every season. But the ungodly are not so. It's different. They're never going to find the peace and the contentment. They're never going to be able to pause and reflect on what Christ has done for us. How good, how amiable are thy tabernacles. How lovely. Oh, I long for the tabernacles, for the courts of God, to be there with people of like-mindedness and that trust in the Lord in the same way, or maybe even better than I do. I want to be around people like that. Go from strength to strength. Oh, Lord, oh, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, oh, God. Of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. David asked for something that if that happens, that's humbling. It's exciting. But you ever have need of prayer? And you're desperate and you pray to God and he grants you peace and contentment. He's looking upon your face. Isn't that amazing? That the God of glory would love us enough to pay enough attention to us to look upon our face. I wonder what our face reflects. Yeah, let's go. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of our God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Some people run as hard as they can to dwell in the tents of wickedness. There they feel like they can gain every earthly advantage and power and money or whatever. He said it's better just being house of God one day is better than a thousand out there. You know, one to a thousand, that's a big comparison. And that's just an analogy of comparison. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. He will give. He'll give grace and glory. That's what we need in this life. It's what we have. That's what we rejoice in. That's how we go from strength to strength. From one time, the assembly of God, to the next one. He gives grace and glory. And over there in the book of Hebrews, Paul says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as man as some is, but what we should be doing is exhorting one another daily, and so much the more so as we see the day approaching. Now a lot of our churches meet every Sunday, and that's wonderful. So whether it's once a month, once every week or whatever, we know when we're going to meet next time. How much of the time are we visiting with one another? I'll see you and Lord's Day. I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you Saturday. I'll see you whenever we're going to meet and look forward and talk about that day. I tell you, if you want to be encouraged or encourage someone, just start talking about how wonderful it's going to be when we get to go to church again and meet together. Isn't it a wonderful time that we're enjoying now after going through the valley of Baca all year long almost, and we made it a well, and there's a fountain of living water, and we can come and drink at that fountain, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work, and we can drink from that, and it's always refreshing. Come, that he that is thirst, let him that is thirst come. Buy wine, buy milk without money and without price. It doesn't cost us anything. He's already spent Himself to make this for us. It doesn't replace heaven. We're looking for the time we'll go to heaven. But this tells us about it, and it's the closest thing we'll get to communion one with another. It's not as good, it's perfect, it'll be there. But there we'll see each other, but we'll see the Lord face to face. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold. That's worth pausing to, even though it doesn't say it. That's worth pausing. No good thing will he withhold for them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed, blessed, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. I thank You for Your good attention. Come ahead, Brother Sonny.
Like to be turning to number 9. So I was sitting there, I kind of felt unusual for me to. It just felt like Brother Clifford was giving a tour of my life over the last year, and it was wondrous, just wondrous. Never have thought about in times of difficulty and sorrow and distress, and then being able to get on the other side and look back, that God's grace has led you through that and actually make a well out of that. Don't you remember when God led you through that? Is God different? It's just beautiful. I thank God for it. So we stand and sing number 9, publish an open door for reception of members, be any that desire to join Bethel or any church represented, be your opportunity. Let's go ahead and sing it to the tune that's written down here. After the first verse or so, we'll ask Brother Clifford to stand before us and welcome you to take